This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. It is football preview day here on Sports Saturday as we are less than a week from the high school football season kicking off. It'll happen on Friday night. So coming up, we're going to have Carlinville coach Chad Easterday with us here just in moments. New Litchfield coach Dan Carlson will join us. New Hillsborough coach Joe Reed will be on the program today along with North Mac coach Patrick Bowman, Gillespie head coach Jacob Bilbrook, Nokomis coach Paul Watson, and Staunton coach Austin Scherfee will join us. And unfortunately, the conversation we're going to have with Austin Scherfee is entirely different than the one we anticipated we would be having at the beginning of the week. So that's all coming for you here this morning on Sports Saturday. Also, about 10:15, we're going to talk with Chris Hatala about the Wooden Bat Fall Baseball League that is coming to North Mac as they will have games beginning tomorrow on the turf at that beautiful facility in Verdon. So we will talk with Chris Hatala about that this morning at around 10:15. Hard to believe though, isn't it, that high school football in the fall is back. It has been a couple years since we had it. You know, the spring season, to me, just felt weird all the way through. The entirety of the spring season just felt odd. The 6 weeks took forever. The 9-week season in the fall, to me, flies by. I always consider it the fastest 9 weeks in sports. But there was something about those six games in the spring that just drug on for me. And I think we have Chad Easterday on the phone with us right now, and we do. And Chad, great to talk to you, my friend. And you've been our leadoff hitter here on the football preview show for, I don't know, probably close to a decade. Good to talk to you.
Well, I guess I complained enough that I had to go first.
Hey, I try to accommodate, but it became clearer to me earlier this week. Are you just trying to get out of setting up the JFL field here with this time slot?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I just shut the gator off, so we got, we're about 40 minutes from kicking her off, and, I got her all going, the grills are flying, so, I answer your questions.
Jed, how great is it to have the JFL back? That has to just be a wonderful feeling.
Yeah, you know, it's great for the kids, for the program. You can say what you want, but for the community, when you get five club football back, it helps in all aspects of everything with kids and the excitement. And obviously with our new facility, that they actually get to play now on the game field. So that's really exciting for them as well.
Yeah, that really is. And as the head varsity coach, how do you look at JFL when you watch it? What are you looking at it as the varsity coach?
Tim, you screwed me right out of the gate. I tell you what, I think I told everyone that JFL football is great. I think an exposure level to football is what's needed. I think it needs to be very controlled. I think sometimes the contact level and that doesn't scare kids away, but they mature so fast over so much time, it's really hard to gauge where they fit and all that good stuff. So, but I think overall it is a great experience for the kids. So, I think as long as your group considers it that way, and we do at Cardinville, the goal is to end up with 22 freshmen. And that's what we need to make sure that we're going to the playoffs and that sort of stuff. So, that's been our mentality all along, is that we really like to win a JFL football game, but not at a price of making sure we don't have 20 kids out for freshman football.
That's interesting because, numbers has been an issue for our small public schools for a number of years, but I never felt that was a Cardinville problem. But it sounds like you guys have a direct plan to try to adjust or to, deal with it.
Tim, you've been around me too long. I'm not too OCD not to have a plan.
That's true. It failed drastically,
but it's at least, and I tell you what, I've been blessed with. I've really been blessed with some coaches that love to coach it. So, and nothing against, because we need parent volunteers and all that good stuff, but we have a few guys that have just wanted to stick around and have been through the process and help mentor parents and coaches and that sort of stuff. So it's really been a cool atmosphere for us over the last 10 years.
Talking with Chad Easterday, Carlinville head football coach. And Chad, what was this off season like with the spring season, the summer, now into fall? Just, it had to be different.
Yeah, we gave the kids June off, to be real honest with you, because I really felt that they were overloaded. So we hit it hard in July, and, we're suffering a little bit, obviously. I think for 4 weeks, you're not at the preparation stage we were 3 years ago, but I think that's pretty much an equal statement across everybody. So, you know, they're fast learners and that type of thing. So it's been a challenge.
How are you looking in terms of the team we'll see in the fall versus the team we saw in the spring? Obviously, Bobby Seale had a great spring. He's not there now.
No, we lost 17 seniors, so we got another 14 of them ready to go. And the great thing about Carterville is there's always somebody else to step in somebody's shoes. I hope so. We are what I say not battle tested. We have probably 6 or 7 spots that didn't see a ton of varsity experience last year, so we'll have to see how week one goes and evaluate from there.
And I know it comes down to blocking and tackling. Don Borgini told me that years ago, and I've never forgotten it. But with that in mind, I've joked with you for years that you've got some sort of secret stable there on the ground somewhere at CHS where you just got tailback after tailback after tailback. So you got to go in there, and you got to pull somebody out. Who's it going to be?
I'll tell you what, Mason Patton has had a tremendous offseason. He's grown a lot. He's in the, as I use the same sentence a lot, he's in a long line of tailbacks that you know, was probably pretty darn close to maybe getting some reps with Bobby Seale and those types of things. So he's a junior that stayed the course, and hopefully we'll have some big things from him.
What do you see from the South Central Conference this year? Do you have a feel?
No, I tell you what, Payne is obviously at the top. They return everybody. So, you know, they seem to be the team right now that's hot, or at least on paper, that's going to be a good team. But, you know, the rest of us fall somewhere in there and need a couple weeks to see where we are and those types of things.
Chad, just finally here before we let you go, I always appreciate your time. But what do you want from your team? Obviously, playoffs are the ultimate goal, and hopefully we get there, but it's a process. So what does Carlinville need to do well in the regular season to make sure that they're playing in the postseason?
I tell you what, we really got to get tough between the ears. So when I say those things, like we haven't been battle tested and those things, I think we have great kids and we have great skill kids and linemen, but you know, we haven't been kicked in the mouth yet, and we haven't been able to react to that yet. So those are some key factors for us the first 2 weeks, and we'll have a great opponent with Gibson City week one to see what we're about and that type of thing.
And, that will be an amazing atmosphere over there. And obviously they're dealing with all sorts of tragedy with the flooding. Have you been in contact? I assume the game is still a go at 2 o'clock on Saturday?
I have not heard otherwise, Tim, so I don't know. We're going to load the bus and head that direction unless somebody tells me differently.
And, you know, that will be different, Chad. I mean, normally the South Central, of course, a closed conference. Usually that type of bus ride, that type of opponent, means a fairly late playoff game. Here it's week one.
And it's week one. So, yeah, it's an interesting year for that. But, you know, we're looking forward to it. It's kind of a playoff atmosphere, and it's a couple of what we just said. That's kind of how we've approached it with the kids, to be somebody new, somebody we know nothing about. I mean, we've been researching them, and I'm sure they're researching us, so that's been really cool to do.
Now, of course, in the playoffs, you'd get a nice charter bus. Do the kids get a charter bus, or it's week one, so they get the school bus?
I'm working real hard on that charter bus, so I put in 3 calls, so we got a pretty good football club that can hopefully make that happen for us.
Excellent. Chad, always appreciate your time on Saturday morning. To look forward to another fall football season and talking to you throughout the year. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
That's Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, joining us here on Sports Saturday on our football preview show. We need to get to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to catch up with new Litchfield head coach Dan Carlson and new Hillsborough coach Joe Reed when the football preview show on Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:15 right here at FM 106 for your Sports Saturday. Some of our sponsors, Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. And Kurt's 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. Right now, we're going to rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. And you know what? I got to give a big shout-out to Jennifer. She does so much here at the radio station. Like all the high school sports that we do over the last couple of years, 85 to 90% of it has been engineered and produced by Jennifer Graham. And if Jennifer said, no, I can't work tonight, well, we wouldn't be having a ball game on the radio. So we're very, very thankful and grateful for all the work Jennifer does here at the radio station. Speaking of radio broadcast. We've got a triple header lined up for week one. All three games are going to be live on WQSMI FM 106.1. It's just the way the scheduling worked out between officiating conflicts and, well, COVID in some ways. So Friday, Hillsborough will be at Greenville. That game will kick at 7. We'll have live coverage at 6:30 beginning on FM 106.1. That's Friday night. Then Saturday afternoon, you heard Chad Easterday talking about the trip to Gibson City, Melvin Sibley for Carletonville. We'll have live coverage of that ball game beginning at 1:45 with a 2 o'clock kickoff on FM 106.1. And then Saturday night, Gillespie will be at Litchfield. Live coverage will be at 6:30 for the 7 o'clock kick on WQSMI FM 106.1. All the games will stream online at WQSMIRadio.com. So three live games coming up on week one of your 2021 high school fall football season. And on the phone right now is new head football coach Dan Carlson. Good morning, sir.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, then it's kind of weird because you're the new coach, but you've been the coach for a while, but haven't actually coached a game. So just kind of talk about the process here as Litchfield elected not to play spring football and 100% the right decision for Litchfield moving forward. So with that in mind, how are you guys prepped here moving into this fall season?
Yeah, first off, thanks for the support on that one. I know that there's, you know, everybody's got their own opinions on that, but, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, Litchfield has to do what's best for Litchfield. And, you know, really it's hats off to our juniors who accepted that. You know, they sacrificed, a varsity season, a junior season for most of them. And, you know, one of the things that coming in, I talked with athletic director Mark Elvers and our superintendent, Dr. Fershenow, is program building's not going to happen overnight. And, you know, there's steps that we need to take. We need to cultivate our roster, keep kids out. And if we were going to field a varsity team, it wasn't going to be feasible. We didn't have enough players to safely play at the varsity level. And we weren't going to bring 14, 15-year-old young boys up to play against 18-year-old men. And that was kind of one of the big things for us is keeping our roster, keeping kids' heads up. You know, the unique thing about football is that it's not like basketball or volleyball or anything else like that. In which case, if you get your brains beat in, you know, in high school, you can go play a club team or do something like that. Mm-hmm. You just got football at the one level that you're at, and that's high school. And so there's no getting that love of the game back, and you got to sit with that in your mouth for 7-8 months thinking about how bad you got beat and don't get to get your confidence back. So, you know, we're appreciative of the teams who understood and worked with us, and really appreciative of our juniors who, you know, voluntarily said, you know, unanimously said, you know, if this is what's best for the team, then this is what we got to do.
And, you know, that is what football is about. It's the team. It's the whole group coming together as one. And, Dan, you talked about program building. And, you know, fans hear that term, and, you know, it gets thrown around a lot. Everybody's always, oh, you got to build the program. But it takes time. It's not just as simple to say, oh, yeah, we're just going to build the program. So you talked about some of the foundational things. What are you trying to get installed as the foundation now for Litchfield football?
The first thing for us is just the belief, is understanding of this is how we run things. This is practice, is that you don't miss practice. The practice is important. You know, this is a team sport. If we're missing one of our starters, then, you know, we have to have that cohesion and that synergy together. And if one person's gone, it messes everybody else up. You know, so establishing that, you know, this is our system. These are the ways we do things. This is the precedent. And these are the consequences if those situations aren't mapped and held up to. And that's kind of the big one for us right now is, you know, maintaining roster size and ensuring kids are coming out and prioritizing. You know, football is a sacrifice. I know for a lot of people, they work and they've got schoolwork, but, you know, I hear a lot of people who – I've never heard somebody say, I wish I wouldn't have played football and just worked. And that's kind of one thing that our kids are gravitating towards and really accepting at this point.
My thing, Dan, is you got your whole life to work. You know, there's a finite amount of time to be a kid and play high school sports.
You know, and that's – you know, I'll be honest. You know, we've got a roster to about 35, 36 right now. You know, not going to – talk about the issues that are going on, you know, unfortunately what's happened down in Staunton, and, you know, it's one of those things that we live, anxiously hoping to not get. Our school nurses have done a phenomenal job. Our admin has done a phenomenal job, you know, with the contact tracing. But, you know, whenever they start coming out towards the football field, you just get that dread in your stomach. Mm. But, you know, we've had to have a couple hard conversations with some kids of, hey, you're not going to miss football for work. And that's not how it works. You need to find a job. And, you know, we've been very lucky to work with a lot of the businesses to work around their schedules. And, you know, the community supports us. The community wants to see us do well, and they're willing to work with us in that sense. So,
Dan, I feel like this is a chance for Litchfield football to kind of reset. You know, like, I don't want to get into what the losing streak is, because it doesn't matter. It feels, all that feels so far removed to me after all this COVID stuff. It's been so long since we saw Litchfield in the football field. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what happened before. This feels like a clean slate. Let's move forward from here.
Oh, no, that's definitely the truth is, you know, we sit here and say, we talk about it all the time. You know, you've got powerhouses like Rochester, and, you know, hats off to Carlinville and Pena and Vandalia and places like that. But you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what happened last year. It doesn't matter what happened 2 years ago. You know, you got to go out and win every single football game. And you got to prepare. And if you don't prepare, then somebody might get caught napping. And that's one of those things is that, you know, you're not – yes, there are some teams that, you know, they got all the gizmos and the gadgets because they've had the success in the past. But – you know, Pena's not winning football games because they've got a good history. Rochester's not winning 9 state championships because they won 8 state championships.
Right.
You know, they have to earn it every single game, and that's one thing that I realize is what's happened in the past is in the past, and every game's a new one.
Dan, that is well said, and we thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. We'll have Litchfield on the radio a week from tonight when you kick it off against Gillespie. I can only imagine the excitement that anticipation is building for your kids to hit somebody else.
You know, it's definitely, you know, we talked about it last night. We had a great purple and white game. We got, you know, everybody was out clean and safe. We had a great crowd. You know, the band and the cheerleaders were phenomenal. But you know what? We're ready to hit somebody that's not wearing a purple helmet.
Absolutely. Dan Carlson, thank you for a few minutes this morning, sir.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, like always.
That's the new head football coach for Litchfield, Dan Carlson. And, you know, that's what you want to hear right now, at least for me, from a Litchfield perspective. Program building, foundational blocks being put in by Dan Carlson to get Litchfield back and moving in the right direction. And I 100% believe that. You know, this is a restart for Litchfield. You know, they have, I think it's a 28-game losing streak. So what? So what? And you heard Dan making the point about Rochester didn't win 9 state championships because they had won 8. And that's exactly true. You know, the tradition, it all matters. But what it really does is it instills that work ethic, right? The kids from Rochester that won the 9th state championship, they watched the kids from Rochester, you know, win the 4th and the 5th and the 6th and those types of things. Same deal at Carlinville or Pena. The schools with those traditions. That's where the tradition plays in, is the work ethic that gets instilled. And it sounds like Dan Carlson is on that path. And that's the type of path that Joe Reed is looking to get down at Hillsboro. The new head football coach of the Hilltoppers joins us on Sports Saturday right now. And Joe, good morning, sir. How you doing today?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Hey, doing all right. Is it donut time yet for the Toppers?
It's getting close. We'll make them earn them first, I guess.
Oh, yeah, you got to earn the donuts. That's what I always joke like with little kids. Everybody gets ice cream after the game, but sprinkles are for winners.
That's a great policy right there. I might need to work that with my kids.
Joe, how has the first few weeks here gone for you with official practice?
You know, it's been great. I really enjoying the kids, and it's been good to, you know, right now in my life, football is the easiest thing going on. So it's refreshing because, moving and all those things are hectic. So it's been really good.
Well, and it's always good to get things in the perspective, right? And I would think when you make a comment like that, I would think that spills over to the kids and just kind of provides kind of a soothing mentality, like, okay, the safety of the free world is not at stake here. We want to play hard, but we're right here playing football, having fun.
Right. You know, I always joke with the kids. I say, hey, you can forget about all the other stuff in your life right here for 2 hours a night. So, you know, that's how we treat it. And, it's been going pretty well so far.
Joe, what have you seen from the kids that you've had in camp? Just kind of talk about maybe what you knew about Hillsborough football from afar. Now you're in charge of the program. Where do you want to take it?
You know, watching film and obviously talking with coaches and people in the area, you know, I knew they were young last year, but I got some really good senior leaders, and that's a big piece of the puzzle when you're trying to put together, you know, a good season, and it's good leadership, and that's been something that's been refreshing, and I've looked to them, and they've leaned on me, so it's been a nice relationship, and that's something that's going to be a strength of ours is those seniors, you know, with Malloy and Wells on the line is a really big thing for us.
And, yeah, that's a great place to start, some big boys up front. And, you know, historically with Hillsborough, it's ground and pound football, power football. Will that be the case this year, or will we kind of see a combination of things? Just talk to us about the philosophy offensively.
It's been kind of a nice marriage between my style and kind of the style of the community in the town. So, that's kind of going to be what we're going to get back to. And, I look forward to that. And, again, there's been so many great coaches here. I'm just trying to, become part of this tradition that they've established. And, I'm just looking forward to it. And, that's going to be kind of our style. That's what we're looking at. We had a pretty good scrimmage last night where we got to kind of show what we're going to do. But, I'm excited about it. And that's kind of what our style is going to be.
And, Joe, that's always, I guess it's a delicate balance, is it, when you take over a program that has a tradition and you have to keep that tradition, but at the same time, you have to put your own stamp on it.
Oh, absolutely. And, I've dreamed about being a head coach for a long time now, and you can only hope that, your first job or your opportunity happens in a place that people care about football and are excited about football and has a rich tradition. And, I think I kind of hit the nail on the head there with this one, and I'm just excited to be part of this community and really get involved here.
Do you think you'll be able to sleep at all Thursday night?
Yeah, great question. I couldn't sleep before the scrimmage, so I'm pretty sure I won't be sleeping next week. So,
talking with Joe Reed, the new Hillsborough football coach. And Joe, talk to me about your numbers. What's the numbers game at Hillsborough right now?
We got 48. And we got 11 seniors. Do have 15 freshmen coming into the program, so we got a delicate balance. And I think people are excited for number one for a normal year.
Yeah.
I think. And obviously, there's been some examples recently with Staunton that maybe it isn't a normal year, but I think people are excited just to kind of get back into the groove of fall sports. And there's a lot of excitement around here from the community and from our kids. So, I'm looking forward to that.
And the unfortunate thing about football is there's no room to reschedule anything. Like, some of the other sports in the fall, they have the ability to reschedule conference games. That's not the case. Staunton had to forfeit against Southwestern. So with that in mind, that has to be a conversation you have with your kids, right, about just being careful so we get to play the full slate?
Yeah. I mean, that is it's a huge thing. We were going to meet and watch film today of the scrimmage, and I'm just like, I don't even know if it's good to get together
right now.
With what's going on. But, we had that talk last night before the scrimmage. I'm like, this might be the only opportunity to get to put your pads on. So, let's have some fun in front of our crowd. And, that's unfortunately in this day and age, a conversation that you got to have with your kids and make sure everyone's aware. And, it's kind of where we are right now. But, it's unfortunate, and I just hope that, we can stay healthy and that our kids are, vigilant on staying away from people and making sure that their masks are on so that we can have a season and an opportunity this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's always talk about controlling what you can control. You can't control the COVID, and you just hope that it doesn't get in the way. But the normal issues you have with football, of course, is just overall health. And as you enter week one, just normal health, how are the Toppers?
I feel like we're in good health as far as just the battering of beating on each other for an entire summer. And I think we've done a pretty good job managing our workload, and I feel like we're in good position. We're healthy as far as everyone goes. So, you know, outside of COVID, which, you know, we got to obviously take precautions there. But, yeah, as of right now, I feel like we're in really good health, and everybody's ready to rock and roll.
And you guys will be in Greenville Friday night. We'll have it live here on WSMI FM 106. Joe Reed, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to talking throughout the year, sir.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I look forward to talking to you as well.
All right. It's donut time.
Oh, that's right. Getting close.
All right. There we go. Joe Reed, thank you so much. And, you know, we talk about it all the time with high school sports, though, right? Like from the athlete, from the kid perspective, those types of things, that's what they're going to remember, you know, 20 years from now. They'll remember the Saturday morning donuts, football, watching the film, you know, remember that more than some random game in September, you know, the bus ride, whatever the case may be. It's those ancillary things that prove to be the real memory makers when you're playing high school athletics. We're going to roll on with our football preview show here. We're going to catch up with North MAC coach Pat Bowman. Jacob Bilbrook of Gillespie still on the way, along with Nokomis head coach Paul Watson. He'll be joining us from the golf course, I believe. And Austin Scherfe going to get with us about 10 o'clock this morning. Of course, unfortunately, the Staunton Bulldogs football team has been placed into quarantine. The entire Staunton school system has been shut down. There'll be remote learning next week. Coming up about 10:15, we're going to talk about a wooden bat fall baseball league that's going to be held at North MAC on the turf starting tomorrow. We're going to have a conversation with Chris Atala about that great venture coming up later on here on Sports Saturday. We need a break. When we come back, we'll talk North MAC football with head coach Patrick Bowman when Sports Saturday continues.
9:34 right here at FM 106 WSMI. Once again, some of the sponsors for our Sports Saturday program include Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, and Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. Once again, we're going to rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize.
Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. Welcome back to our football preview show here on Sports Saturday, as we will have high school football in less than a week. Friday night, Hillsboro's at Greenville, live on FM 106. That'll be a 6:30 start, 7 o'clock kickoff. Saturday, a week from today, two live games, Carlinville at Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. That'll be live at 1:45 on FM 106.1. And then next Saturday night, Gillespie at Litchfield, live coverage 6:30 for the 7 o'clock kick on FM 106.1. All those games will stream at WSMIRadio.com. We're also a week away from the Brett Bielema era getting underway at Illinois, as the Fighting Illini will kick off their new campaign a week from today. They will be taking on Nebraska. That'll be an 11 o'clock start next Saturday on WAOX 105.3. The Ox. On the phone right now is North MAC Panthers head coach Patrick Bowman. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Tim. Good. How are you?
Hey, are you on the practice field as we speak?
We actually are just walking out of the locker room. Yes, we were, but we're not anymore.
That had to just be a nice feeling to be on the field in the fall, less than a week from kicking it off.
It is a great feeling to have fall football again. Feels like it's been a while since we've been able to do that in the fall, so we're definitely excited.
Talk to me. I know you got some big shoes to replace this year.
We do. We lost a solid group of seniors. A lot of names in the area that you hear about came from our crew, so definitely some holes to fill, but we've got some great returners and some underclassmen definitely going to step up this year.
And, you know, that's been a tenet of North MAC football here for a long time, is the ability to reload.
We hope so, and every team does, yeah. And any time you lose a senior class, there's definitely leadership that's walking out the door, and you expect the next group to step up. And our juniors that are seniors now, our juniors last year, the seniors this year, have done that, and they're doing a great job.
You know, Pat, I'm curious, like, from a head coach perspective, when you're on the field early in a season before a new campaign kicks off, and you're looking at, say, your upperclassmen this year, do they every once in a while do some things or say some things? It's like, okay, they were paying attention to the kids that were above them.
Definitely. This year, our seniors impressed me every day. It started right after last spring. They took a leadership role, and they've been leading workouts. They lead extra conditioning. They've showed leadership in practice, even with freshmen. So I can't say enough about our seniors this year.
And that is kind of maybe just a secret gem to any successful program, football especially. If the upperclassmen take ownership of it themselves, that's more valuable than if it comes directly from even you.
Definitely, yeah. It's always nice. It's almost like having more coaches on the field and in the program. They kind of take it, hey, this is our program now, and let's run with it.
So, Pat, everybody knows this is your final year in the Sangamo Conference, and you have to just approach it one game at a time. But how hard is it going to be not to kind of take a bigger picture view of this?
It is our last year, and to believe it or not, we don't even talk about it. Our kids, hey, here's our 9-week schedule, and like you said, we'll take it one week at a time. And obviously, next year that 9 games are going to look a lot different. But that's next year. So right now we're focusing everything on Riverton, and we'll go to week 2 after that.
This is kind of just an off-the-wall question. I don't even know why it popped into my head. But like when you're just out and about in the community just doing whatever you're doing during the week, what percentage of the people who stop you to talk about football want to talk about the actual game you have coming up opposed to one that's like 3 weeks down the road?
They're always going to ask you something with football, and that's part of coaching and being an education. You walk into anywhere in your community, hey, there's the football coach, or hey, there's a football player, let's go. And they know they've got something in common because in this community at North Mac, they love football. Hey, there's the football coach, let's go see what's up, and let's talk some football. So it's always exciting, and they're going to ask questions, and they ask about this week's game, next week's game. They just want to know how the season's going to be, and everybody's just excited.
And, you know, you talked about the kids. Hey, there's a North Mac football player. That's tradition, isn't it? I mean, that is such a great thing when you've got kids in the fourth and fifth grade that are looking like, hey, that's a varsity football player right there. That's going to be me in 6 years or whatever it is.
They do, and we've got our older kids, since I've been here, really taking an ownership role of small kids. And before games, hey, we see little young kids at the games. We're going to high-five them, say, hey, and it definitely helps. Any recruitment they can do to help your program. But like you said, they definitely look up to those guys. I've got a son in seventh grade, and he idolizes every one of these guys on the football field now as high schoolers.
Have you allowed yourself to think 2, 3, 4 years down the road and what that's going to be like for you?
Not really. I know I grew up that way, so it's exciting to see my son being able to do that as well.
Patrick, what are your expectations, hopes for this year's North Mac squad?
This year, everybody wants to start out and, hey, let's get to the playoffs. But like I say, we just focus on 1 week at a time. Our kids are extremely focused for 1 week at a time. And I think by doing that, it's going to help us do things better on the football field, and hopefully things turn out well for us.
Sounds great. Patrick Bowman, North Mac head football coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. We look forward to talking throughout the year.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Tim. Take care.
All right. Patrick Bowman with North Mac, that beautiful turf field up there. And, you know, we're going to talk with Chris Atala coming up later on here in Sports Saturday about the Wooden Bat Fall Baseball League that's going to be going on at the Turf Baseball Field at North Mac there on the Verdon campus. And coming up, of course, next week, you have soccer and volleyball and cross country getting underway. But the Carthenville Kickoff Classic this year, it's co-hosting with Carthenville and North Mac. That'll be a 100% turf soccer tournament coming up. I think it gets underway next week. At some point, of course, we'll get into that when it arrives. But that will be a really neat opportunity to be playing a tournament that will not leave Macoupin County and will not be played on natural grass. That's pretty good. And, you know, you think about the facilities now that are starting to pop up, and these high school athletes now, they are getting to play on the best of the best, and it's just great to see. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, Jacob Bilbrook. And, Jacob, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Hey, we're doing good this morning. And before I get into conversations about your football team, we have not talked since the passing of Don DeBrino. And, Jacob, I know that he meant a great deal to you. He obviously encompasses all that is Gillespie football. So if you could just kind of please give us some of your thoughts and memories on the great Don DeBrino.
Oh, man. You know, it's so many, really, just from being able to grow up in Gillespie, you know, watching his teams play. And, you know, you always hear the stories and things like that and, you know, kind of adds the aura of coach. And, you know, and then being able to coach with him when I first got here, you know, being able to coach with him and Coach Bergini and Coach Burns, you know, guys that actually played for Coach DeBrino and, you know, seeing how those guys, even as, you know, 50-year-old adults still, you know, walked around him the way that they did, you know, being their coach. And, you know, those three, I would say, you know, represent everything that's good about high school football coaching. And it all started with Coach DeBrino and just really, you know, everything, like you said, from the town's point. I mean, he was kind of larger than life around here. And, you know, we're definitely playing with heavy hearts this year.
And Jacob, he had such relatability. I mean, he was able to relate to players just as good 3 or 4 years ago as he was 53 years ago.
Yeah, and I've told the story before, you know, about, you know, one time, I think T. Tote was walking in, you know, to do a game or something, and he made the comment to Coach that, you know, he walked by the locker room and they were booming the rap music and everything. And T. Tote said, you know, Coach, I don't think that they were listening to this, you know, 30 years ago or something like that. And Coach laughed and he made some comment about, you know, it wouldn't kill him to play some Frank Sinatra every once in a while or something. And, you know, but it was his adaptability. Like you said, I mean, it didn't matter what kind of background any kid had, you know, and the times change and Coach rolled with the punches too. And The thing that never changed was how he cared about kids and he cared about high school football and he taught them to do things the right way. And that's just something that I'll always look to and try to model myself after for sure.
Well, and you can't, as a head coach, you can't take away any better lesson from Don DeBrino than that right there, because it is about the kids. And when the kids believe in you, they're going to play harder. To me, they just are.
Yeah, no, and you're right. I mean, I'm choking up right now thinking about it. You know, no matter, I knew I was going to get asked about it, and it still does prepare you thinking about it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's thinking about the people that would come up to me that I haven't seen or I didn't even really know, and they, you know, they talk about how much Coach DeBrino really changed their life. I mean, not even you know, just, you know, whether they didn't have that father figure that they needed or, you know, just being the role model that, I mean, really, really set kids on the right path. Like I said, I mean, just, you know, Coach DeBrino, Coach Borgini, Coach Burns, I mean, those three, they represent everything that's good about high school football coaching and you know, really changing kids' lives for the better.
That's exactly right. And with that in mind, as we look at the Gillespie football team, because at the end of the day, Don DeBrino, he was a competitive dude. Borgini was telling a story about when he played for him in baseball, he'd be throwing a batting practice, you know, getting some swings in. He said after you laced a couple, all of a sudden he's breaking off nasty sliders, had to strike us out, couldn't have it. He wanted to win. So at the end of the day, the competitive drive to win, when we look at Gillespie this year, playoffs the hope, I assume?
Playoffs are always the goal. You know, do farewell in conference. You know, hopefully we're in a good position to maybe look at winning a conference championship. You know, those are always preseason goals. And you know, kids are working hard. And we'll see where we're at. You know, we've kind of taken several years ago. It was just kind of getting in the mindset that we can compete with anybody. And our competitiveness has definitely changed. I think that we are, moving in the right direction. We're not scared to play anybody anymore. And we're definitely not afraid to compete. Even getting behind, we're not afraid to, we embrace the competition now, and that's something that's changed. And hopefully, this group can kind of get us over that hump and put us on the winning track to, you know, maybe be in a position to win a conference and hopefully make the playoffs.
You guys have been, I mean, right there the last couple of years on that kind of hovering right around that 500 mark. You know, a play here, a play there, it could have broke entirely different for you. But as you look at this group, what are the numbers? What's the breakdown by class for you?
We actually have about probably the fewest varsity kids since I've been here. We've got about 30 kids playing varsity football, sophomore through senior. So I mean, you look at probably about 10 per class, roughly. Mm-hmm. You know, for them, but we've got 20 freshmen out. I think it's going to slowly start working back into, back into our favorite numbers wise. You know, once we get through the pandemic and things like that, we can get in the schools a little bit more and, have a little bit more interaction day to day with the kids, kind of talk them, pump them up about playing football again. You know, don't be afraid to play, sports again. And, we definitely don't have, a lot of numbers, like I said, 30 varsity guys, but, we're definitely quality over quantity this year. I told the kids, we've got about 30 kids and I feel comfortable playing, any one of them on Friday night. So, we're going to take that and we're going to run with it. We've got probably fewer two-way starters than we've had in quite a while. So, it's kind of working out for us this year and we'll see what we can do with it. Hopefully we'll be able to play a full season, first of all. Already the stuff that's kind of going on, but we'll see what we can do with it. I'm just excited that the kids get to play a fall football season again and do things kind of the way we used to.
Talking with Gillespie head football coach Jacob Bilbrook, and 20 freshmen, that's a great place to start. And you mentioned about fewer kids going two-way. My question was going to be kind of along those lines. When your numbers are down a little bit at the varsity level, how do you balance, I guess, practice physicality versus making sure you don't get one of those 30 kids dinged for Friday night?
I can speak, for us personally, our practice program is we always do, we kind of have a physical day on Monday just to simulate, that's kind of our JV day. So we're going to have JV games going on Monday. Varsity, goes hard on Mondays. We give them a recovery day Tuesday, which is basically walkthrough stuff. We install, we kind of dial it back a little bit. Wednesday is our biggest hitting day of the week. We crank it up on Wednesday, try to go, get as much physicality in as we can without putting the kids in danger. And then, Thursday's our free game and Friday's our game day. So we kind of, and we don't go on the weekends. So we kind of give them that. Recovery is so important, it's not healthy just to bang heads 5 days a week. And, we're learning more all the time. And hopefully we're teaching kids the right way and we're letting them recover the right way. And, it's worked out for us in the past. We've had very few injuries and, that's what works for us. I don't know if it works for everybody, but that's just what we do. And, it seems to be working out for us.
Jacob Bilbrook, thank you for a few minutes of your time. The Gillespie football program is in good hands with you, sir. And I know Don DeBrino is looking down with a smile on his face.
I appreciate that, Tim. Thanks very much.
All right. That is Jacob Bilbrook. And boy, I love talking to that dude. You can just hear the passion and the enthusiasm, right? Old school, but with the new school mentality as well. When you can blend the two, you can really wind up with something special. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to head to the golf course, I think, and catch up with Nokomis head football coach Paul Watson, Austin Scherfe with Staunton still on the way as well, and Chris Atala to talk about the Wooden Bat Fall League that begins tomorrow at North Mac. All coming up when Sports Saturday continues.
9:52 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Some of our Sports Saturday sponsors include Prairie Town Feed Service, Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare, and Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Jennifer, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday, and as T-Tell used to say, we will be going into extra time today. We're going to have Staunton football coach Austin Scherfe joining us at the top of the hour here. Of course, the big news earlier this week was the Staunton Bulldogs football team was put into quarantine, and then shortly thereafter, the Staunton school system was shut down after a cluster of COVID cases. So they will be full remote learning for next week, but all the sports and activities for Staunton off the calendar for next week. And unfortunately for the Bulldogs, they will be forfeiting that week one football game with Southwestern. And, you know, we've heard a couple of the coaches we've already talked to today kind of allude to it. Like, personally for me, maybe it was just naive on my part, I wasn't really thinking about this potential even 3 or 4 days ago. It hadn't really dawned on me that, you know, the 9-game season could be in jeopardy. Just hadn't thought about that. Yes, we got a fall season. We're ready to go. But now before we even kick off, we have Staunton in quarantine, and you just hope that this doesn't turn out to be kind of a norm here over the next few weeks. On the phone right now, Nokomis head coach Paul Watson. And Paul, are you on the golf course?
We are on hole 14.
How are you hitting it?
Not very good, but that's normal for me.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's always the key to golf. You got to know your own skill level. Otherwise, you get yourself
in
trouble.
That's right. I make sure I had plenty of balls because I've already lost two.
Paul, it's great to talk to you. And obviously, the spring season went as good as it could have gone for Nokomis. But just let's get updated here. No Prairie State, and officially in the Cahokia, or is it kind of unofficial this year, moving towards official?
We are actually independent.
Independent, so, officially, okay.
Yep.
And just kind of from your perspective, I guess it doesn't matter, independent versus a conference?
You know, we would love to get into a close conference where we don't have to go and search for games. Just makes it so much easier. But, you know, it's kind of nice going independent, and then you kind of see some teams that you normally don't. You know, like this year we got Gillespie and Dana and Litchfield that we haven't played in quite some time.
Well, Paul, I saw those three games, and boy, do they jump out to me on the schedule. It's like, oh, that Nokomis is going to love taking on three South Central schools. I mean, your kids are going to be so jacked for those games.
Oh, they are, you know, and you look at you know, Painted just right down the road, mm-hmm. And you know, it's always a battle in basketball, and so now we get to see them on the football field. So they're pretty pumped. They're up for that challenge.
And as you look at your team this year, you know, you play three South Central schools now. You know, physicality-wise, it goes up a little bit. As you look kind of at the interior of your squad, offensive line, defensive line, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, we only lost two from the spring season on that 6-0 season. So, you know, we've got a lot of kids returning that's got a lot of experience. You know, we've got our left side there that we're working on, you know, getting replaced, Dylan Hayes and Brummett. But, you know, we're excited for it. We're pretty good up front there, and we got some kids that are doing well and trying to find those kids for that spot.
You know, Paul, with the spring season, people can take whatever they want out of it. Everybody's situation was different. For you guys to go 6-0, to return what you're returning, you have to really feel a lot of just positive momentum here in the early portion of your workouts.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and going in, you know, we're so much further than the normal season with that spring season, as far as our installs and everything, and even, you know, being physical. You know, it's kind of a lot of drills that we normally do, we've got to kind of hold them back because they love to hit, and you know, they get mad when we get pads out, and you know, you got to go get pads, or you know, we short whistle it, and you know, they just want to go hit each other, but we're afraid we're going to hurt each other, so we got to kind of tone it back a little bit.
Yeah, it's time to hit somebody else. But when you have a team that doesn't shy away from physicality, but instead they're seeking out the hits as the season wears on, boy, is that a great identity to have.
Nope, I'm missing you there. What'd you say?
Well, I just said that type of physical mentality, seeking out hits, that's a great identity for a football team to have as the season moves along.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and we've got kids that last year that come to the sideline, and we thought they were injured, but, you know, they were just mad because, you know, especially our corners and safeties, they were mad because the linebackers and linemen are making all the tackles, and they can't get any tackles. They're kicked off, and I'm like, You know, I'm thinking, you got concussion? What's wrong with you? And they're like, heck no, I can't get a good tackle because everybody's going to tackle in front of me. So.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. But hey, sometimes, you know, players can be afraid to make a play. And for a DB or a safety out on that island, you got to have the confidence that I'm getting that guy on the ground one way or another.
Oh, yep, absolutely. And you know, we've got all those guys that coming back that they've actually been starting since their sophomore year. So, you know, they're out to hit somebody and they love to be physical.
So, Paul, it will be different as an independent. Obviously, you don't have a conference to vie for. Obviously, playoffs very much on the table for Nokomis this year. So, kind of goals, expectations for the season?
Yeah, you know, our goals, week by week, like everybody else, you know. But, you know, we want to definitely get to that sixth win to be, you know, to make the playoffs. And then, you know, Nokomis is, you know, second round's been the farthest that we've ever went. So, you know, we want to get past that and make it, you know, a deep run into the playoffs. And as long as we stay healthy, you know, we feel like we can do that, especially going into 1A. We don't co-op with friends anymore, so we don't have to take their enrollment. So, you know, we're one of the smallest 1A schools. So, you know, we're playing, you know, as Payne is in Glissies, those 2A's, 3A's, and even the 4A team that, you know, I think that'll be have us ready and ready to go.
Sounds great. Paul Watson, the Comas head football coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time, and good luck on 15, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys. You guys have a great day.
All right. You too. That is Paul Watson joining us from the Arrowhead Open, the Nokomis fundraiser. We're going to pause for news here at the top of the hour. When we come back, Staunton football coach Austin Scherfe, North Mac baseball coach Chris Atala to talk about the Wooden Fall Bat League that starts tomorrow. This is WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.
3 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock right here on FM 106 WSMI. We have some Sports Saturday sponsors we want to thank. Litchfield National Bank and Woods Basement Systems. And once again, for the Sports Saturday program, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thanks, Jen. We are into extra time here on our football preview show. And thank you so much to Chad Easterday, Dan Carlson, Joe Reed, Patrick Bowman, Jacob Bilbrook, and Paul Watson for all joining us this morning. We're going to have Austin Scherfe, the Staunton football coach, joining us here in just a moment. Unfortunately, the Bulldogs quarantined earlier this week, and the Staunton school system was shut down. So the Bulldogs will have to forfeit their week one game with Southwestern. We'll talk with Coach Scherfe momentarily. Going to have Chris Atala jumping on at about 10:15 to talk about the Wooden Bat Fall League that is going to be happening at North Mac beginning tomorrow. And that will be high school teams. So you got North Mac, Carlinville, Rochester, Auburn, New Berlin, and the Nighthawks. And players involved in fall sports can play since those games are on Sundays. But the varsity coaches cannot be involved in actually coaching that Wooden Bat Fall League. So we'll talk with Chris Atala about that coming up shortly. But right now on the phone is new Staunton head football coach Austin Scherfe. And Austin, thank you for joining us this morning. And when we set this interview up, we were planning on just talking, you know, about football. And then you guys, unfortunately, were placed into quarantine. So I guess just first off, talk to me about the emotions that your kids and really the entire community of Staunton has gone through here over the last 72 hours.
Yeah, so we kind of started getting cases Monday, and quarantine started happening. So, you know, I think the kids, with how the last 2 years of school have gone, kind of seeing the writing on the wall. If, you know, the cases kept going up, the possibility of losing a game was going to happen. But, again, I'll tip my hat to our players. With Tuesdays and Wednesdays practice before it happened, we were kind of expecting them to be a little down in energy and a little lethargic, but man, they really came out and practiced hard. Unfortunately, Thursday morning, we talked to the county health department, and they decided to kind of quarantine the team, which ended up leading us to actually closing down the school just to kind of get ahead of it for player and student safety. And so we had a meeting Thursday morning, and, you know, for me being a Staunton alum, you know, the senior class I've coached basically since fifth grade, and the rest of the groups I've had in classes being a junior high teacher. So probably one of the hardest conversations I had to have was telling these guys that next week's game's probably going to get canceled. And, you know, we're not going to see them for a couple days with the quarantine, and they needed to do what they had to do to, you know, to quarantine, stay away, and not let it keep spreading. So, you know, there were some tears in there from the players, and, you know, a lot of the staff was kind of excited with the Staunton background I have, and, you know, kind of some of the things we've been doing to kind of get the excitement and the pride back around the program. So, and I know the parents obviously are upset. The community itself a little bummed out. I think they're kind of excited to see the changes roll out. But, you know, safety is first and foremost for us. And, you know, we're hoping all of our guys get healthy and we can kind of start aiming at week two in or at home against Litchfield. So.
Well, and also I'm glad to hear you say that because that was going to be my next question. I didn't know what the status of your week two game would be in terms of being shut down for a week. The number of practices required, is that over for you now, or do you have to have so many days of clean practice leading up to that week two game?
Yeah, so that's a great point. And that's a conversation I've been having with our principal and actually Sam Knox at the IHSA. In terms of practices, obviously we need 12 to be eligible to play in a game. We have a lot of kids with 9 already, so with a full week of practice following next week, the week of Litchfield, we'll have a lot of kids get to practice, actually number 13, so we'll have a good chunk of the roster eligible. We're trying to communicate with Sam here to see if we could maybe pick up a practice on a Sunday or kind of talk about that practice requirement, because we got a couple seniors who are going to be just short because they got quarantined Monday or Tuesday at practice. So my fear is if we don't get these guys cleared to play now, you know, this continues spreading around with other schools, those seniors kind of get an unfair shake at it and could potentially miss more than one game of their final high school year. So it's kind of an ongoing conversation with the IHSA right now, but we should be good to go. Might not be at full strength, but should be good to go for Litchfield.
And you sure hope that the IHSA is flexible here and allows a practice on Sunday, because you're exactly right. You've already lost one game. If you have a couple of kids that are a practice short, all of a sudden their senior year is 7 games.
Exactly. Yep. But, it sounded like Sam Knox was pretty on board with talking with the rest of the committee up there about either giving us a Sunday or my idea was, you know, everybody, if you practice Monday through Saturday the first 2 weeks, you get 16 practices in. 12 would be 75% of that. You know, for our case, for our kids, before they play Litchfield, they would have 13 practices in. So if you take 75% of that, that would be if you round up 10 practices, which everybody on the team would be able to hit 10 practices and still hit that 75%
the threshold
attendance percentage there. So
I'll talk with Austin Scherf.
See what they want.
Yeah, talk with Austin Scherfy, the new Staunton football coach. And let's talk about some happy things, shall we? I know when you got hired, there was great excitement in the Staunton community to have a Staunton guy at the helm of the program. And you kind of alluded to it earlier, but it sounds like you're getting that foundation that you want established right off the bat.
Yep. You know, when I played, you know, we were under Parmentier kind of before the state run. We had a huge kind of support and sense of pride in the school's football. And I don't think any of the coaches following that did anything negative per se, but it just didn't kind of have the same level of excitement about the program. So we're just trying to kind of get pride built back up. And, you know, we've been doing some things, like trying to get our facilities looking nicer, like our gym's been repainted and everything. So just trying to kind of overhaul everything and kind of fix that community bridge and just kind of bring that support back and everything that we used to have.
Yeah, you know, little things matter. I always joke, like, if you look good, you play good. You know, like, when just all the little things are falling into place, it, for whatever reason, it just seems to help. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, community support for a small school like us is always, you know, really important. So that was kind of one of the first things I had on my to-do list was to come up with some ideas to bring alumni back for games and just kind of get off Staunton and now Bunker Hill kind of behind us.
Well, and that's a great lead in here. The Staunton Mount Olive co-op has been dissolved. Bunker Hill now is in that co-op arrangement with Staunton. It sounds like early you're getting more numbers from Bunker Hill here.
Yep. So for whatever reason, last year we actually had zero Mount Olive players on the football roster. We had one player who had played for us who kind of gotten an injury with his hip, so he was trying to actually rest up for the military, so I completely understand where he was coming from. And then there was just some other reasonings for the other two kids we had, but, transitioning into Bunker Hill, if it starts at the JFL level, you know, Mount Olive, from what I have gathered, kind of splits between Staunton and Gillespie, just because a lot of the Mount Olive kids know the Gillespie kids through wrestling and stuff. Uh-huh. In terms of Bunker Hill, Staunton and Bunker Hill, even since when I played JFL Jaguars, Staunton and Bunker Hill's been most of the roster there. They might have a couple kids playing Edwardsville, but in terms of how well the transition's gone, I mean, if you came out to practice, the kids know each other so well because of that JFL experience that you wouldn't be able to sit there and point out who's from where. So been very, very grateful for how smooth that transition has been.
And also, I don't know specifically about the group of Bunker Hill kids you have this year, but, you know, I'm from Bunker Hill, and they got football my senior year, and the teams themselves overall were never any good, but there was always individual pieces where you're like, oh, man, if that kid was on Team X, he could really be a useful piece, and that's the beauty of a co-op like this. If you wind up with 3, 4, 5 kids that are giving you production on Friday nights, man, is that a huge benefit.
Yep, and, I mean, just with what we got from them now, they have really brought kind of a different attitude to practice. I would say from top to bottom, our Bunker Hill kids are not scared of contact. They have, most of them have actually laid the lumber in practice, so they've actually been great in terms of setting kind of what the expectations are. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, I foresee a lot of Bunker Hill playing time on all levels of football this year for us.
That's fantastic. You know, that's the beauty of, like, these co-ops is once it gets going, you don't even think about where the kid's from. They're just helping your team win.
Yep, exactly. And then being on the JFL board already, too, you know, they've already got very good connections with Bunker Hill. In fact, before they had to cancel this weekend's game, the JFL was actually planning on playing a game at Bunker Hill.
Okay.
Kind of something that we had talked about, you know, I kind of recommended and we discussed. And we had plans once their facilities kind of got cleaned up to start putting some JV and freshman games hopefully there, and kind of spitballed the idea of getting a varsity game over there once a year just to kind of make sure, you know, their voices are heard and their communities, you know, represented as well.
Sounds great. Austin, it's great to talk to you. I mean, the Staunton football program, I don't think it could be in better hands than it is with you. And I guess we just keep our fingers crossed and just really hope that you get to have an 8-game season.
Yep. And in terms for me, you know, just we're going to try staying positive, keep in touch with the kids over quarantine. I've been an assistant here now for 3 years. This will be year four becoming head coach. And, you know, putting everything aside, I thought this was the best offseason I've seen the Staunton kids have in terms of weight room attendance. We were up at about mid-30s a day in the weight room, not counting the Bunker Hill kids who were lifting over in Bunker Hill. In terms of summer practices, we were well above 90%. So there was a lot of buy-in and a lot of excitement. And, just a shame. Kids were excited, and I think they got a good year ahead of them.
Sounds great. Austin, we look forward to talking to you throughout the year, sir. Thank you.
All right, yeah, thank you.
That is Austin Scherfe, the head football coach of Staunton. And so it did sound optimistic for week 2, Litchfield Staunton, as of now. So hopefully the IHSA will be able to relax some guidelines in terms of practice requirements, because, boy, you would just hate to see Staunton have to lose a second game. But Austin Scherfe, he sounded very optimistic that that would not be the case, that they should, if everything, you know, no setbacks, obviously, between now and then, they should be on the field for week 2. So that's the football preview show. Thank you to Chad Easterday, Dan Carlson, Joe Reed, Pat Bowman, Jacob Bilbrook, Paul Watson, and Austin Scherfe for joining us here this morning on our football preview on Sports Saturday. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Wooden Bat Fall League that is set to begin tomorrow on the turf in at North Mac in Verdon. We will talk with Chris Hatala when Sports Saturday rolls on. Jennifer, thank you so much. Yeah, we got Cardinal baseball coming up tonight on WQSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. I think it's 5:50 with the start tonight, or maybe it's 6:20. Cardinals 5:20. Jennifer tells me 5:20 with the start tonight for the Cardinals and the Pirates. So, you know, the normal fall sports seasons obviously begin in earnest on Monday. Tomorrow, the first Wooden Bat Fall Baseball League is going to get underway on the turf at North Mac High School in Verdon. And fall sport athletes will be allowed to play since these games are being played on Sundays. You will have North Mac, Carlinville, Rochester, the Auburn varsity and JV teams, New Berlin, and the Nighthawks all competing in games starting tomorrow. They'll play the 29th of August, the 12th and 19th and 26th of September, and it wraps up on October 3rd. And on the phone right now to talk about it is Chris Hatala. Chris, of course, is the North Mac head baseball coach. And Chris, we will mention this a couple times because I want to get you in trouble. You are not the coach of this fall team. You are not involved with this fall team. We are mainly talking to you because you know a lot about this fall league. Good morning.
Yeah. Basically, I'm just running it from our field, and that's it. So.
And I assume Cole's playing?
Cole and my youngest son, Aiden, will both be playing this year.
So you just get to sit and watch as a spectator? That'll be nice.
We'll test my ableness there and make sure that I can do that.
And this fall Wooden Bat League, it's not the first one around. You know, there's some other leagues in surrounding communities, but talk about North Mac's decision to get into a Wooden Bat Fall League. It's very neat, very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, since I've taken back over, I've encouraged our kids to play Wood Bat, to get the freshmen, the new freshmen involved with the varsity team. Everyone plays, everyone bats. It's really not a playing time issue. It's more or less getting these guys used to it. Seeing, you know, men versus younger boys. Mm-hmm. You know, pitching wise and stuff like that. So it's been encouraged, and I think that's helping with our success around here with this program.
Obviously, when you're hitting with a wooden bat, it is completely different. You talked about encouraging younger kids to do it. What's the benefit for a younger kid getting involved with a wooden bat?
Well, I mean, obviously in middle school, it's not enforced to swing a BB core bat or a heavier bat. So the big jump from younger boys to high school ball is to make sure that they're strong enough or get them used to swinging a heavier bat. So, and of course, if you miss a ball with a wooden bat, you know it. So mm-hmm. You get a better feel for the game. And we see what we're going to deal with in spring time. So it kind of helps me, you know, get an eye on what we've got coming up.
And I would think, you know, from a pitching perspective, it should be a little easier because, like you said, if it's not hit perfectly, it's an out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can see it that way. Obviously, you know, when you square a wood bat up, you know it.
Right.
The sound is very good. So, again, you know, some of these kids are playing two or three sports at the same time. So the arms aren't as fresh as what you're going to see. But, yeah, it is kind of, I would say it's a slight advantage to the pitchers with a wood bat in the batter's hand.
And fall sport athletes can play in these games since they are on Sundays. Talk about, was there direct communication with the IHSA in getting the different logistics lined out here?
No, I mean, basically, it's a club team. So on Sundays, as long as it's a club team, they're able to get some reps in on that, as long as, you know, the head coach isn't the one participating in it.
Which you're not.
Which I'm not. I would love to be, obviously, but no, I'm not. But, you know, IHSA kind of this year, I know that North Mac has a couple kids that will be playing golf, soccer, and on my baseball team all at the same time. So it's, you know, some of these kids are pushing themselves to the limit 7 days a week, but it's fun to see them, you know, be competitive like that.
Oh, to be young again. They don't get tired. At least not like we do.
Well, if you come home to my house, they say they are. So.
Well, that means they worked hard then, doesn't it?
That's right.
Hey, the Nighthawks, I've heard of them, but where are they from?
They're based out of Morrisonville.
Morrisonville.
It's just a couple local guys coaching it that basically have most Morrisonville Lincolnwood boys on it.
How did
go ahead.
I was going to ask how you went about getting the teams that you got.
Well, I mean, honestly, this year, since it's our first, we'll take anyone and still will in the future, but hopefully we'll get some lights on the field, girls and boys, and we can get more and more teams involved in this. But obviously us moving to the SEC next year, I would love to get more South Central Conference teams involved in it. But with a, you know, lack of numbers out for sports, and if some are playing, you know, football or soccer at the same time or golf, you know, it's difficult for some of these smaller schools to get kids involved in it. But that's the ultimate goal, is to try to get the Southern teams, the smaller schools, involved in it a little bit. Hope we can keep going from there.
And there'll be games starting tomorrow at 9, 11, 1, and 3. Talk about, from a spectator perspective, will there be admission to get in? How's that going to work?
There will be no admission. There will be a concession stand, finally. And you know, nobody's fault, but it's taken a while, but it's all donations, so it's very appreciated. But no admission. There's drop-dead clock, so it's kind of like a summer league baseball game. It's just to stay on time, so, you know, on a Sunday night, on school nights, they get home on time and go on from there. So,
you know, I think about when you build a facility, it's impossible to think about everything you're going to want. Like, I think about, like, the Giants ballpark. They built it and forgot about the bullpen. It got done. Where are the bullpens? Oh, forgot about that. So they just jammed them in on the sides. That facility you have at North Mac, I mean, my gosh, it is just so lovely. But in 3 or 4 years from now, it's going to be even better, because maybe a shade tree or two, and like you said, a concession stand, and it'll be as good as it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm hoping that lights are in the works. If not, I'll be trying to get them in the works for, you know, the future. But, you know, obviously that's good for every kid. Every team around here can play JV games, a full JV game after a varsity game, stuff like that. So, yeah, our facility is top-notch. There's no complaints the way it's sitting up right now. So I'll take what I've got.
And I would imagine, you know, as this moves forward, you're going to have no trouble getting teams, because who doesn't want to play on a beautiful turf field?
Yeah, I mean, again, in fall, it's kind of like spring. It could rain any time. Yeah. We played at Plains fall leagues and stuff, and they've, you know, unfortunately, they have dirt there for now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fall leagues go stretch out to 12 weeks because of rain. So we're hoping with this facility it kind of gets teams involved and we can stay on schedule so we're not playing during basketball season. So.
Fall league starts tomorrow at North Mac. On the turf, talking with Chris Atala. And Chris, just one final thing here. It has nothing to do with this. As time has passed, I would imagine you sit back every once in a while and with a big smile on your face and think about that high school baseball team you just had.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always said we can get that many wins most of the seasons that I've had here, but to have only two losses and complete your season, that's going to be tough to match. You know, ultimately, you want to be above 500, compete in your conference and stuff. But to have a 21-2 record, it's very humbling. Know what we've worked for is well worth it, and hope it continues around here.
And to have it the way that it worked out, you got to play every postseason game on that beautiful field.
Yeah, I wish that would happen every year too.
Yeah, that'd be useful, wouldn't it?
In the future, I'm assuming Chris Rayner will be pushing for regionals and sectionals to be hosted here. So.
And I don't imagine or can't understand how they wouldn't be headed to North Mac with those facilities, because you're not going to find anything better for a small public school than what you guys have at North Mac. So, Chris Atala, just finally here, fall baseball league starting tomorrow. Just kind of, if we didn't hit on something that needs to be hit on, or just kind of give us the overview of what people can expect when they come out tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, very competitive baseball. I know a bunch of kids that play on all these other teams that are playing, so you're going to see top-notch pitching from around the area still, and hopefully get some offense. I'm not really worried about offenses, obviously, because they haven't swung a bat in a while, but yeah, I think you'll see some very good teams in progress, and, you know, with Auburn having JV, coming up, that helps their program in the future also. So pretty exciting to actually wake up in the morning and see baseball again.
The quality of the baseball player in our listening area is just supreme, you know. And so many times high school baseball kind of gets forgotten about a little bit just because of where it falls on the calendar. But there, it seems there are more kids that go beyond high school in baseball than a lot of other sports.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's plenty of small schools. You know, obviously the JUCOs are pushing the kids to the next level, but there's an absolute big number of kids around here that play a lot of summer ball that move on to college. So it's pretty impressive that, you know, it used to be hidden behind the doors, but
yeah,
baseball is coming alive again, hopefully.
Yeah, a lot of great ball around the area. Chris Atala, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, and best of luck with the Wooden Bat Fall League starting tomorrow.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
All right, that will be games 9, 11, 1, and 3 at North Mac on the turf. And again, Chris Atala is not the coach. Not the coach, just simply involved with helping getting the league going and giving these kids the opportunity to play a wooden bat fall league starting tomorrow. That's it. We went to extra time. Jen says, I'm out of time. She's about to put the cane around my neck and pull me off the stage like they used to. That's exactly right. Hope you enjoyed our football preview show today. We will have high school football on the radio Friday night, Hillsborough at Greenville, Saturday afternoon, Carthenville at Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. That'll be live at 2, Gillespie at Litchfield live, 6:30 Saturday night. All three games week one live on WQSMI-FM 106.1 and online at WQSMIRadio.com. For Jennifer Graham, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carthenville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.